Say to somebody, I'm going to learn something else today. Did you say it, Mitch? Good. Say it to me. Me too. We both going to learn something else today. We've been going through James 4. Every time I think of the book of James, I'm like, yeah, this is James. This is the book of James. that means you better follow it closely. So we went through the whole book, and I'm not going to go back to it because we've been covering it. But I just want to pick up from 7. I want to interject some of the foundation of that, and then I want to move on to these next steps. Because the book started talking about, you know, you desire, you war, you quarrel, you ask. You have not because you ask not. You ask, and you still don't receive even though you ask, because you ask amiss. Now, this is important. Pay attention, lovebirds. Pay attention. I know you're happy to see each other and stuff, but pay attention. This is important stuff. So good to see you, man. You just don't know. So it says you ask, you have not because you ask not. And then you ask and you still don't receive because you ask amiss. And we went over that thoroughly. You ask foggy. You ask unclear. You ask not really knowing your right or your privilege to ask. Let me say that again. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask foggy. You're not clear. You don't understand that it's your privilege and right to ask. Let me say it one more time. If you don't want to receive it, I'm going to say it for me. It's my privilege and my right to ask. My father told me, asking you should receive, seeking you should find, knocking the door should be open. So it is my right to ask. Why am I making a point of that? Because a lot of times we pray from the place of what I talked about earlier, just kind of mentioning it, kind of hoping he hears it in his busy schedule. And then there's this other time you ask, almost ashamed to ask. You never ask God something feeling like, I don't really deserve it, but I'll take a try and I'm going to ask, but I don't know if he's going to do it. Nobody? You do. Of course you do. Because the devil will not be doing his job. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's going to continually tell you, you don't deserve it. You're not worthy of it. You know what you said last night. You know what you did yesterday. There's no way God's going to give that to you. And I always have to say, well, if it was based on that, then I'm not getting anything because I don't deserve squat. If it's based on my goodness, then ain't no sense me ever asking for anything because I'm never going to get it. Because I'm just not good. I know you're thinking, no, Pastor, I think you're a good dude. Yeah, I'm a good dude due to Christ in me. You should have met me before. You should have met me before when I give about nobody but me. That's what the world taught me. That's what my own family taught me. So, yeah, I mean, it was like every man for himself. Only the strong survive. You know those sayings you hear? So, I mean, I had a sense or what we would call a inkling of compassion, human compassion in me for people. I wasn't just a ruthless, heartless. But still, at the end of the day, if it came down to me or you, it's me. Unless it's losing, then it's you. You follow what I'm saying? That's just life. Come on, amen. Can I get an amen for somebody? Amen. This is who we were. When we came to the Lord, our heart about things and situations changed. The way we look at things changed. Our spirit got renewed. Our minds became new by the washing of the water of the word. And all of a sudden, we start to see what was valuable apart from what the world taught us was valuable. So the change of heart and the change of spirit makes me now ask God from the perspective of this. Everything I am and anything good about me is because of my walk with you. So anything I ask you has got to be based on what you did for me, not what I think I did for you. It's always about that for me. I don't deserve any of it. Yet I do. Yeah, take that home. I don't deserve any of it, yet I do. Yet I do. I'm Mikey's uncle. No blood to him at all. But they all call me Uncle Diamond. And sincerely, I can tell when people just say, "What's up, Pop?" because it sounds cool to say, and it makes them think they're getting close to me. It ain't happening. And then I know who's really saying it's really in their heart, and I know they mean it. I know the difference. I know I'm uncle to them. Not just to them, but to the whole family, to grandma all the way across, to aunties and all. I'm Uncle Diamond. And he can ask me for things, and will ask me for things that a nephew would ask me for. And he knows that if it's in my heart or in my means, he's got it. But why does he have that right when I got real nephews and nieces that can ask me for squat and get it? They can't ask me for the time of day and maybe get it. It's real talk. Come on. Some of you are looking at me, but you know I'm telling the truth. And you know some people in your family you ain't want to have nothing to do with. Look, a lot of my family only have my phone number. So they can't ask me for the time. So my point is, that's an adoption of heart. But what happens when you got God who not only adopts you of heart, he adopts you of spirit, and then according to the word, you become born again and filled with his blood and DNA, and it becomes an official, full relationship, father-son, father-daughter relationship. I don't know if you understand that, but that blood of Jesus that we like quoting really changed your DNA. You are God's legitimate child. Somebody say, I am. God's legitimate offspring. Now, said, you ask and you receive not because you ask foggy. You don't believe that the privilege that I paid for you to have is really yours. You don't really believe it. Now, listen to me close. You listening? How many of you in the past week or so have had your faith tried? Your faith has been tried. All the stuff you was getting excited about, you heard it in the message. You was like, yes, going to take the kingdom. And something happened this week that made you go, God, are you the one or should I look for another? Right? You know, come on, is this the one? Maybe that ain't really the dream you have. Right? You start to question it. I had one of those weeks where, and I can tell it was spiritual. I could tell it wasn't even happening on the inside. I know the difference now. I'm mature enough to know when it's inside and when it's coming at me from the outside. And it looked like every force of doubt that could try to come was coming at me. Boom. And it drove my I guess what people would call stress levels, because I'd have never really confessed it or really known stress like that. But it pushed my levels up to the point that it raised my blood pressure. I didn't even realize what was going on. But after God started showing me, he said, yeah, you really freaking out. You really freaking out. You really need to calm down. You know, I kept saying, I got to get in, I got to work. God was like, you need to go lay down. Now, I can't let the whole week go by and not do nothing. You need to go lay down. That was the hardest thing in the world, to obey God telling me to rest. Ooh, I'm speaking to people today. So I didn't go lay down. See, I know I'm talking to y'all. But I just stayed away from going in there and trying to put on the computer and work. I just played my instruments and just, you know, relaxed myself kind of that way. So I go lay down and do nothing person, that's hard for me. So somebody said, yep. So I will go find something that relaxes my spirit. And so I had it. I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but I guess feel you need to know. You know, I tell you what I go through so you'll know it. We all together in this. Is that a blessing to you? This is not part of the message, but it is now. God spoke to me this week because as I was kind of kind of visualizing or trying to get my mind out of the fog and get back focused on the promises of God for my life, kept having these daydreams. The word refers to them as evil forebodings. There's these negative thoughts, and you keep seeing something going wrong or whatever, and you just keep, and then you start playing it out and walking through it in your mind and having to even having a conversation with it. You know what I'm talking about, right? This person said this to me, and it ain't never happened. So now I'm saying, I'm going to say that, and then they're going to say this. And you just literally, you got to have a whole play. See, you know what I'm talking about? You got the whole play in your mind happening. The conversation ain't happened yet. But you're emotionally, you feeling all of the stuff you would feel, the anger, the disappointment, the embarrassment, the withdrawal, the whatever it is you feeling is so real. And God said to me, as he got me quiet to not do so much, he said, you know that's evil foreboding, right? I said, yeah, I do. He said, the word clearly tells you whatever things are honest, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be virtue and praise, think on these things. He said, you, I said, God, the thoughts just pop up. He said, you don't have to join them. Shut them down. He said, I'm going to give you an evil foreboding alert every time a thought comes up like that that you don't need to be meditating on. Even past failures and conversations that happened that went down that, man, if I got a chance again and that happened today, I would say, you know, you're getting, start rehearsing for the next time you meet, hoping that that come up so you can have, you know, they may be rehearsing too. You don't know. Just disown this vision. These visions, these thoughts that don't pertain to life and godliness, these things that have nothing to do with God has called you to, just divorce yourself from these conversations. Amen. In the realm of the spirit. Amen. So as I was going through that, God stopped me. He said, why are you rehearsing stuff? I said, God said to me, some of these people ain't even alive. Like, why are you even rehearsing this stuff? Just let this stuff go. He said, and every time you start meditating on anything but the vision that I've given you, the dreams that I put in your heart, anytime you start to think about anything that could happen, might happen, what might be said, whatever, he said, I'm gonna let an alert come up in your spirit. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It works. Because this morning I was in the shower and one of these conversations started coming up and God said, you want to do that? I was like, nope. I'm not thinking about that. Nothing. I don't care if I just sing a song or hum something. I'm not having conversations or relationships with negative things that I don't desire for my life. Amen. Not having it. So in this season, I'm saying shut down yourself. Shut it down. Shut it down. We are our biggest problem. We start meditating on this junk, and all of a sudden, we're off and running. And you know, sometimes you get it change your whole mood. Penny come home, and you snap at her. She ain't got nothing to do with her. It's got to do with what you've been meditating on all day. You follow us? Come on, we telling the truth, right? Let's check our spirits now. This is the season we're in right now. Let's quiet our spirits. I get it. You know, I just so hyped. You know, okay, well, don't get hyped. Stop saying, I get hyped. Stop speaking that. Start speaking the desired result. This took me totally off of where I was going, but it's where God wanted to go, and it looked like you were blessed by it. So amen. Amen. I tell you, I give you my updates so we can all be together. Mike said, real-time updates. Listen, so I don't want to ask Cloudy. I don't want to ask what my spirit clogged and my head clogged with a bunch of unwholesome junk. How deep is it if you believing God to move in a situation, but you already in your mind mapping out and planning out a negative outcome? Yep, see, I heard a lot of mm-hmms, you know. But we don't pay attention to that. Well, it's time to start. It's time to start. Because while I was thinking about all the symptoms that could be and what could be happening with me and what could be going on, I started having to visualize and me being in the hospital and surgeries and all kind of falling out in the street. And I was like, you know, this is crazy. And it just overwhelmed me. And as I began to realize is the thinking that way and not knowing what was going on, the overwhelming thoughts and emotions, my blood pressure kept going more and more and more and more, just to not knowing. So somebody said to me, well, once you go to the doctor and you know, then you won't worry so much, then your pressure will come down. I was like, that sounds good logically. So until I see a doctor, I'm screwed. No. I know where the doctor is 24/7. He won't ever tell me we don't deal with blood pressure. It's right there. I got right there in the car, and literally it took no more than a 30 to 45 second conversation to say, I'm not doing this. And immediately. You hear me today? Well, my symptoms didn't all change. They're on the way if you change that spirit. How diligent you going to be about it? Again, not the message for today, that in my mind, but that's where it is. So, let's move down. That was an extra tidbit added on today. It's Communion Sunday, so that was a little extra something. So we got all the way to the bottom of this. But I want to go to verse 11. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I hear all the hums and hums. Thought you were going to get away with that part, huh? All right. Hi, church. I hear the grunts and groans. But see, this thing saying you fight and quarrel amongst yourself and you don't have. Then you ask and you receive. You don't have because you don't ask, and you actually receive not because you ask and miss. Then it talked about humbling yourself, resist the devil and he will flee, submit yourself to God, come near to God and he will draw near to you. All this stuff is here. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded, grieve and mourn and wail. All this stuff is here. Now we get to these parts that make a difference. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them or speaks against the law and judges it, when you judge the law, are you not keeping it? But sitting in judgment on it, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now, this is not a side conversation. This is part of the whole thing. He said, you're fighting quarrel amongst yourself, and you don't get it. I saw something online that spoke to me as pertaining to this message and what I'm sharing right here. This college professor did this thing where he walked in. He was a mathematician, thank you, Lord. And he had all these examples up on the board, about five or six highly technical equations. You listening to me? Now, and then he had on the board 7 + 1 = 9 with all these equations. And he stood there writing out stuff, and you can hear people snickering and laughing. And he turned around after a minute and he said, what's funny? And the class began to point out to him, you put 7 + 1 = 9. He said, it's really interesting. With five or six complex equations on the board that's correct, you're focused on that one thing that was wrong. That's the thing you saw. With all the good, you saw that one wrong thing. And he began to challenge them on their thought process about things. how you ever going to be great at anything or successful with anything you do if you always lock onto the negative and miss the positive. How are you going to be successful? So as I was looking at this and I thought about that example, I said, we're the body of Christ. You're going to have to bear with me on this because I may go a little bit deep. Yet, we function like we're an individual arm, leg, foot, toe, whatever, that can work totally independently and by itself. The church don't trust the church. I don't trust the church. But if we're a body, that means we work interdependently, not independently. And how am I going to work well with you if I look at Mike and the only thing I can see in Mike is the thing he did wrong, but I can't see all the good? I just didn't like his tone. Okay, so what do you like? And I'm going to tell you what's powerful about that, because I've had to do a lot of marriage counseling sessions, and one of the first things I do is I let the couple sit down and I let them talk. And they, you know, of course, when they come for counseling, they're already pissed off at each other. So they get in and they begin to talk about all the stuff that's wrong with each other. Now, wait a minute. And I let them get it off the chest. And I say, good. Now, tell me something nice about the other person. And they get stuck. Now we know why you're about to get a divorce. It's not that everything is so wrong. It's that you forgot what's right. You said I do for something. Do you remember what that is even? Can I get you to talk to me about why you said I do? And usually, if they're willing to participate in saying something nice, they both start crying. They get emotional because they realize, wow, there is value. But I've let the wrong things cloud me so much that I no longer see the value. Why am I sharing this with you? Because we do it to each other and we do it to God. So I had a rough week. I'm supposed to forget about all the good God has done? My focal point or my strength for that week should be what went wrong? You're feeling me, huh? Love your neighbor as yourself. Problem is you don't love yourself. You point about all the wrong things with you. I've asked people in meetings as well. Give me a list of all the things you think you need to change. And it flows. Now give me a list of the things that's good about you. And I get three or four things and they're struggling to do that. Well, how are you confessing that you're God's child and going to achieve all these great things and do all these great things and you can't even line up with God with his opinion of you? It's slander. So I don't get mad a lot of times when people talk negative about other people because I always say this is your inner, you're expressing your inner feelings out toward that person. Do you love yourselves? Really? Then I challenge you right now in your heart, give me 5-10 good things about yourself. You ain't got to speak about, but I just want you to stop and think about it. Not bad stuff. I don't even want the bad list. We already know that. We don't even have to practice that. I know that's going to flow out like water. What's good about you? What's powerful about you? What do you love about yourself that God has been able to do in and through you? Because I can tell you to stop slandering your brother. But can I first get you to stop slandering yourself? Can I get you to speak life over yourself? Not because that's the thing you're supposed to confess and you're around pastor and it's the Christian thing you say. It's amazing how many of you get around me and you talk and this negative stuff come out your mouth and I check you on it. No, but that's not what I meant. Listen, don't try to sweeten it up for me. whether you can say whatever you want about yourself, it don't affect my life. I'm trying to help you. Now you're just trying to impress me. Don't impress me. You're killing yourself. Don't impress me. Don't say the right thing in front of me when the wrong thing is in your spirit. Out the bundle of the heart, it's going to come out. And don't make a difference what you mean when you try to say it to me. Devils know what you said, and that's what he's using. So take a few seconds, a moment of silence, and give me in yourself five things. One, I'm a nice person. No, don't give me that. That's whatever. That's cliche stuff. I want stuff with real meaning. Just like if I ask you to give me negative stuff about yourself. Think about some good God-based stuff about yourself. And speak it to yourself while you're thinking about it, if you need to. Just speak it out to yourself where you can hear it. If nobody hears it but you, speak it about yourself. You want to write it? Write it. I don't care. But do that. Okay. Let me ask a question by a show of hands. How many of you struggle with that a little bit? See? It's real talk. It's real talk. Honestly, how many of you struggle with that a little bit? Trying to find something. See? How many of you, if I asked you to give me something negative, you could do it real easy with no problem? See? So we have an issue here, don't we? I know who I am now. When I was ministering to the congregation, was it last week, and was giving specific words to people, and people would get in touch, and I said, I'm good at this. It's what I do. I'm dope. It's what I do. I know this. I'm comfortable with that. That's a gift God gave me, and I do it well. Standing here teaching the word, I do this well. Changing lives, I do that well. It's what I do. Who bears witness with me on that? See? You know, ain't no joke. I get down. I goes for mine. Now, I need this from all of you. I do not want you to come back next week, whether you come back or not. I want that written down. I want you to begin to write, even if it's hard for you to believe it, even if it's something you want to say good about yourself, but you really don't believe it yet. I want it written. If I ask you, do you have it, and you don't, we're not speaking. We're not speaking. If I shun you, don't take it personal, or take it personal, either way. I'm asking you to do something for you, not for me. You're going to do it? I want a list. It don't have to be five. If it keeps building and building, if you start writing and you can't stop, hallelujah, let it flow. But I want, the scripture says to write your vision on a tablet that when you run, you can see it. And we want to write the new job we want, the new car we want, the raise we want. What about your own self-approval? Shouldn't that be the first thing on your list? So I can't tell you not to judge your brother evil if you judge yourself evil. You can't give out what you don't have in you. Is this blessing somebody? I'm telling you, we're not playing church anymore. Those days are over. Amen. So he said, if you're judging and speaking against your brother and sister, or judges them and speak against them, and the law judges it. So when you judge the law, it's that to me was confusing until I sat down and began to break it apart. And here's what that means. Who would need me to explain that section after that? That's it. Everybody else got it? Because you don't put your hand up, I'm assuming you got it. I'm going to call on you to explain it. Okay. When you judge your brother or your sister, it says you're judging the law. You could say judging with the law or against the law. Case in point, if I come over to Jackie and I begin to find issues with Jackie, those issues that I'm finding with Jackie have to be based on my opinion of the law, what's wrong and right. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? Listen close. If I choose to judge, you have another translation, Mike? You look like you deep in thought over there. Okay, listen. I have to judge you according to a law. Are you listening to me? I have to judge you according to the law. There has to be a law of what's right and what's wrong for me to say what I feel is wrong with you. Correct? So there's a law that I'm basing that on. And that law is going against the law of God, so I'm judging the law. If God said you holy and I'm saying you not, then I've created a law within myself to judge you above God's law. You catching it now? So he says, when you're judging your brother and sister, you're judging against the law. The law said the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. So if the law has made you free and I'm speaking against you, then I'm judging against the law of good with my own laws. That's why the scripture said, be careful, for as you judge, you will be judged, and the same measure you use will be measured back against you again. That even has a very serious significance. It's not even necessary. It is saying that God, but it's not necessarily saying God will judge you the way you judge other. But that's not the entirety of it if you really read it in the language. It's saying, for the law you use to judge others will be used against you by you. That's the law you're judging by. Are you getting this? Am I going too far? Are you catching this? So he's saying, once you choose to judge against the law, you become subject to the law that you choose to judge by. If you don't want to be judged by that law, then don't judge others by that law. But let's start with not judging yourself by that law. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is this. You do wrong, you die, you're judged, you're penalized. But he explained the law of the spirit of life. That's the law of the spirit that comes from grace. It comes from salvation. It comes from accepting God, becoming a new spirit, born again, spiritually filled creature. And you should be judged by that law and that law alone. Once you put yourself under the law of punishment and guilt and shame, and you put other people under that, you have forced yourself into a law that God has not called you to, so you're judging against the law. She said it, condemnation. You're putting that on yourself. I did wrong. I do wrong. My wife said to me, you know, you did this and that wasn't right. Oh, God. I'm such a failure as a husband. I just try. What about all the good things I do? Like, really? No, I'm just letting you know that does not happen. I just go, okay, well, I'll check that. Amen. Surrender that. We good then. We good? All right. If you see me do something like that again, just let me know. But I've surrendered to the Father. We good then. You forgive me? Yeah, of course I do. I'm done. I've had people say to me all the time, like, I could check you on something. Lindsay would say it. I could tell you about something, check you, and you go, okay, and then that's fine, that's done. And she said, and then it's like, she said, like, then you just done. Like, you just free and you don't do it again. Like, how do you do that? I'm like, because I don't have time to feel guilty. I don't have time to defend myself. I don't have time to get defensive. And my spirit bears witness that the thing you said was wrong or it was right. I just take it to God and say, okay, God, well, I don't want to do that. And you work in me both to willing to do your good pleasure, Philippians 2:13, so I don't need to do it anymore. Amen. There it is. And if I keep doing it, it's on you because I gave it to you. Boom, I'm out. You receive that? He works in me both to willing to do his good pleasure. So if there's wrong in me, then I need to say, well, God, I acknowledge that it's wrong, number one, and I surrender it. And I need you to change me. I'm willing to be willing. I say it all the time. We make it more complicated than it needs to be. You can't ask God for his blessings when you've already judged yourself unworthy of them. Getting a lot of mmms today. I like the mmms. That means it's hitting. Told you I'm good at it. I'm dope. So listen. No, but here's the thing. I was talking to Janice yesterday. I pray for you. I love the house God gave me. There's no question about it. I don't sit home and say, man, I should be like Creflo and I should be. He can have that. I don't want a room full of people I don't know. I love it like this. People come to me and say, you know, the Lord gonna make you grow. I'm like, God forbid, I rebuke you. Don't come speaking, no big, huge ministry over me and the Master Square God or all that. Keep that. I like what I have. And pay attention to what I'm saying. That's why my life is good. Because I love what I have. Some people would be right here in the same spot and they'd be miserable. Because they want to know why they ain't got 50,000 members yet. I care less. God, whoever you call to that, let them have it. Now, if God called me to that, I would say, God, give me the grace, because I do not want it at all. And no desire in me for that. But here's what I'm saying to you. I'm not saying love every mess that's in your life. Here's what I'm saying. Every mess that's in your life, the holdup is you, though. Now, that ain't a safe place to get guilty and shame about. That's a place to say, well, then I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to change my speaking. I'm going to change the way I see myself with you, God. I'm asking you to renew my vision of me because obviously it's not good enough. And I want it changed and I want it done. And then say, and thank you, I receive it. And then I'm going to work real hard on it. No, what are you going to work hard on? You suck already. That's you've done what you can do. Leave it there. Turn it over and walk away. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know. God just put in my spirit. So I'm going to tell you this. So just so you know. You know that song, Know When to Hold Them, Know When to Fold Them, right? When I met my wife and we start seeing each other and then years went on and we got married, I could cook her under the table. My wife couldn't touch me as a cook. I know you're looking like, what? Couldn't touch me as a cook. The kids would eat my food. They wouldn't touch her food. They're like, nah, I don't want that stuff. We want daddy to cook. I taught my wife how to cook a few things. Sauces and stuff was my specialty. And most of my wife's sauce recipes, by the way, they're mine. Ask her, she'll tell you. So when you're level, she made it, yeah. And get it twisted, right? So my wife got tired of me out cooking her. She's like, well, you can't have everything. You can't be ruling in every area. I need something to call mine. She didn't say those words, but you can see that was her vibe. Like, wait a minute. You'd better home decorator, everything? Nah. So she started getting cookbooks and stuff. This was before YouTube. She got these big cookbooks. And all of a sudden, she started making stuff, pineapple almonds this and sauteed that and Szechuan this. And all of a sudden, she started, like, cooking. I went. That's your domain now. I'm out. I know where her power starts. And mine ends. I know where her wisdom starts. And mine ends. I know where her insights start. And mine end. When you walk with God, it's the same thing. You got to know where yours stops and his begins. there's places. No, God is everything. Okay, now you're just being an idiot. Okay, God put you on this earth and he gave you wisdom and power so that you can flow and walk and talk and commune with him and you can fellowship. So God don't plan for you to be an idiot. That's not the point. Or a helpless little baby that can't do nothing for yourself. That's just idiotic. But then in the same token, he don't want you to co-create with him either in the sense of what he does. So you bring to God the abilities that you've grown so far in him, and then you know where you stop. And then he takes it. And what happens after that is you grow a little bit more. You get a little more insight, but you want to get cocky. And you want, okay, I don't need you. No. Because when my wife cooks to this day, she, certain times she'll come to me and say, what's missing from this sauce? You know, and I was at one point, I was so good. I probably still could. I don't know, but I was so good. I could go over and go, you put no wine in there. She said, I didn't. There you go. I know. I'm not that good anymore, but I was. I'd probably stay on if I really wanted to. But again, very rarely she asks me now because she knows. But some of you will be up there and see, she'll say to me, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? I go, yeah, you could have put a little, yeah, I could have done that. Because God will let you grow and get to that next level, but he still expects you to say, okay, Father, taste this and tell me if this tastes right. I've grown. I'm stepping out now a little more with a little more confidence. But am I putting my foot in the right thing here? It feels right. But just want to know before I step all the way out there. We on the same page? Yeah, we doing good. Step on out there. And you step in and a few steps out and you get out there and it gets a little wobbly. Say, okay, what's going on, God? You say, okay, this is where I step in. This is where I step in. You stay right there and you be still. No, but I got to get to the other side. Well, you're going to wind up down in the pit. I just told you to be still. But it's been 3 weeks. I don't care if it's 3 months. I said be still. Amen. Now, for me, that's my struggle. I can stop running, and I won't stop running until I'm collapsed. God's like, okay, but was all that really necessary? Well, God, I just want to be a man of faith. And okay, yeah. We know that you're motivated. Go sit your behind down somewhere and let me do my part. No? Nobody? Just go sit down. There's part I want you to do because that's the part where your faith comes in. Let me wrap it up with this. This is a good example to wrap it up with. Yeah, perfect timing. It's a good example to wrap it up with. When the woman was starving in the Bible, and she was out of food, and the prophet told her, gather up jars, as many as you can find, and then stop pouring the oil, and the oil will keep pouring. The woman's part was to gather up the jars. It wasn't to produce the oil. But her act of faith was to gather up as many jars as she could. Now, she probably just went to a few neighbors and got as many jars as she could and called it a day. If she was thinking like I would have thought, I would have been going into the neighboring towns. I would have been, you know, getting a U-Haul truck and going down to the junkyard. I have so many jars, I wouldn't have a house. It'd just be jars. But I'd be in the oil-producing business. You follow what I'm saying? That's how I think. God would have to say to me, okay, stop with the jars. We're good with the jars. Now you got so many jars, you got no place for the stop. You can't even fill them. You're too busy collecting jars now. I can't even fill your jars. You're too busy collecting them. Somebody other than me? Can you relate? All right, I told you collect the jars, and now you done made it your mission in life to collect jars. Just stop. It's that balance, but you work together. It's a flow. And when you begin to do that, you understand you can stop looking at you and what you think you bring and how right you think you are. And you can stop judging yourself based on how good you think you are. The truth is, you are good. God called you good. You are good. You made in his image and his likeness from the beginning. You are good. But you're right because of what he did. That's right. It's it's an inheritance that belongs to me, is rightfully mine. I have a right to claim it because he said so, not because of what I've done to earn it. So I'm asking you this week, write down your good points. I want to know about them. I want you, more important, I want you to know about them. More important, it'll give Daddy something to work with. I don't want to go to the next part. I'm going to save that to next week because I think this is a good point to wrap it up. Stand with me a minute. We're going to close in prayer. Did you learn something? Yes. Say, I am God's creation, but I'm also his child. I like watching those of you who step out. I like to see you step out. Any parent loves baby steps. I'm watching Jackie getting around with her without the walking and taking the steps. You've been confessing your faith probably for years. But like God said, you finally really asked for it now. You're claiming it. And you've taken the step out to make it a reality. And those are the truths. Now, people say, well, if God healed her, why don't she just get up and just run? And why don't you get up and run? Right off a cliff somewhere. Go, like, shut up. Like, let her take her steps. It's steps. It's all steps. Some people, they could just receive like that and boom. But some of us, we walk it out. But as we walk it out, our faith grows. Our hearts become more solid. Sometime, and you're listening to me close, you don't need an instant deliverance. Because you don't get the chance to understand the experience and know how to share it with somebody else. Sometimes you need to walk out of it so you can show somebody else how to walk out of it. Everybody don't have dynamic faith that they just received their healing today. They just don't. Everybody don't receive change overnight. They just don't. The processes that God has allowed me to walk through that made me, listen to me close, love and understand his goodness are the things that nobody can take from me. If I'm here and God just put me there, okay, well, now I'm here. But how can I help you now? And I like those moments when they happen. But I also really love the moments when he say, we're going to process through this. How many of you feel like right now God is processing you through something? You know you're growing. You can see it. You feel it. And that's why the same people put their hands up when they said they had a pressure and weak. Because you're pushing through. Standing still is just easy. Pushing through, yeah, it's a process. You're going into strange territory. You're entering in waters that you haven't swam in before. Don't worry about it. If God said it's so, it's so. If he said he's got it, he's got it. If he said he's provided, he's provided. And all the thoughts, and I'm not just speaking to you, I've been saying this to myself all week. God, you cared about my little camel part. I know you care about my health. What am I even thinking about? Like, why am I even stressing over this thing? I know you care about the dreams and visions you gave me. You gave them to me. You gave them to me. Well, I don't know what my dreams and visions are yet. Okay, so ask. But I did ask, and he didn't answer me. You didn't ask. Ask again. And keep asking till you ask correctly. Because sooner or later, you're going to ask the question from the right place. Remember iRobot? That's not the right question. He kept saying, that is not the right question. And when he finally asked the question, he said, now that is the right question. So all the weeks I was saying, where is that thing? God was like, that is not the right question. When I said, God, I really, where is it? And it was just, and same question, but my heart was different. And all of a sudden, literally, I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, I walked in the room and said, and just my hand just went, there it is. And because of that thing, that $25 thing, I was able to receive my healing. You got that? Got that? Father, we thank you today. Your word is true. It's so simple. We say to you all the time, forgive us for overcomplicating it. Father, I pray that you put a charge on each and every person this week, that they go there and they begin to write their good list. They begin to write the things about them that's a blessing, that they know is a blessing. The things that people have told them over and over again is a blessing that they ignore. That, you know, not the things they want to be good at, but the things that people keep telling us. They know. The Spirit tells us that we're good at. We know it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the insight. And Father, here's the word that's coming. Help us not judge our greatness by our accomplishments, but by our giftings you've given to us, and know that we have them from you to do great things. Help us see the things that we are doing. Help us understand where we are valuable. Not what we think we need to feel valuable, but the true value that we have. Thank you, Lord God, for everybody in this room. The dreamers, the standers, the believers, the people that have the hearts for all your greatness in their life. Even those of us right now who don't know where we are and what we're doing, that we have a peace that we know that it is being done and you're doing it through us. We lack nothing. 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 And we thank you, Lord. All things that pertain to life and godliness, we have already. We give value to you. Turn them back on, Ruth. We give value to you, Lord God, by fulfilling what you called us to. You open our eyes to the world. You open the world to us. You've given it to us. It's ours to have. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name.